it is with much joy and mixed sadness. It's not an epic way to start anything. I wanted to call up the Groters, and this is. Oh, he's already up. The time you've all been waiting for. So the Groters are moving to Alabama, and yeah, boo, we're not gonna let them. Yeah, that was out loud. And yeah, come on up. You know, there's a whole front row for all of you right here. Yeah. So, that's what I said. It's with joy and sorrow. And
I have my box.
Yes, and there's another one behind you, and another one. Yeah, take one down. Pass it around.
Beautiful family, huh?
That's right. They're a beautiful family. And you know what? I can say that it is with sorrow that we can let you go. And I'm not ashamed of that, because if you guys had not integrated so well into our family, I could just say, hey, goodbye, God bless, you know, we'll be praying for you. And I can't say that. I can't say that. With this family, they have entered all in. And when I say that, I mean everybody, like teens, kids, right? Everybody here, you're all in. And I love you guys, and I appreciate you. I honor the mess that you waded through and yet still remained pliable and open and hungry for whatever God wanted, and I thank you. Yeah, we love you, and we're going to miss you. Yeah, can I share? You just give it to you and just, like, have you share.
Nathan, you want to? I had breakfast with a friend this week, and it's always hard when you say goodbye to somebody and you don't know when you're going to see them again. But he prayed a prayer that came... my favorite hymn is, it might be my favorite song of just all time, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. In the middle verse starts by, here I raise my Ebenezer, this stone monument, because here, so far, by your help, God, I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure to safely arrive at home, because Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, and to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. And we have come through a journey of wandering where God has brought us here into this place to be a flock that we can be a part of, to receive from, and to pour into. And we're raising a monument of remembrance that is not a funeral stone. It is not the end. It is a mile marker that one day we look forward to being together again and looking back on, mm-hmm. and saying, look how far we've come. And for us, as we're proverbially crossing the Jordan River, we're setting this pile of stones and saying, we're going into an unknown land. We don't know what God has for us, but we know by his hand and by his help, we've come this far. Mm-hmm. And you have all been to us a very tangible hand of God on our lives, each and every one of you. And that can't be overstated, and I'm probably drastically understating it, but you have manifest that love to us in a way that was just unbelievable. And now we look forward to looking back on this monument and seeing what God does here, and know that we'll be an extension of this heart for community and just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and worship and signs and wonders and miracles, and we'll just look forward to, like, just this connection north to south of what God's going to do across this eastern side of the country. And do you have anything? You're better at talking than I am. I feel like you should say something.
I will affirm what he said is good. Good job.
Thank you.
And I'm just really grateful. Yes, this church family has given us hope for what can be in a community and fellowship, and what we are probably called to foster where we go. So it's a joy. It's exciting. We have helpers.
Yeah. Good ones.
And it's great. Thank you, River.
Yeah. So, Nemo, thank you. Avela, thank you for sowing into sound and worship. of teens. Mira, thank you for being a part of that as well, teaching our group how to discuss within the youth realm, how to be open and disagree and explore. Thank you. Tovia, thank you guys. And Enoch, thank you for just embracing kids. We know you have there were some outcasts, just people, kids who didn't fully integrate, and you just went and grabbed them and sat by them and introduced yourself, and I love your heart, and I'm going to miss that. And KC, thank you for sowing into women. Thank you. Okay. I know, but this is our women, so thank you. And of course, Micah and Casey, thank you for sowing into the youth program and instruction and training. And then Micah, thank you for just wholeheartedly jumping into worship. And you were kind of that, I'm not sure I should feel my way in, maybe twice a month. And then you're just like all in. And it's been great. So thank you. All right.
Should I stand up?
It's your call. You got kids.
April, here. I'll be right back. I wrote something down, of course. All right. I want to stand next to you.
Wherever you want. You want there? No? Okay.
When Daryl asked me to say something about Casey.
No, it was on trumpet.
I started writing things down. And when I looked at the paper, I realized that it was all the fruits of the Spirit on the paper. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I know that if you asked her, she would say, that's all God. She's so selfless. And Joyce actually said to me, how long have they been going here? I said, it's only been a little over a year, but it feels like 20. And so there's happy tears, right? We're so thankful that we got you for as long as we did. And I just want to, I know most of you know this, but they really are going in obedience to the Lord. And that's the coolest thing, and I love that for your kids. So I just wanted to claim in Jesus' name that God's favor will continue to pour out on you and your marriage, your children and their children continue to walk beside. I claim that you'll have God's protection over your move and his guidance over all of your next steps. And I love you.
Yeah, I did have a lineup of people first. Chris, I'm sorry. Come on up, Mr. Chris. Rach, if you had something to share as well with Chris, it'd be a great time.
I'm going to go off script and honor the elders before the younger and let her speak because she's got something important. Then I'll speak.
I want to say that we're going to miss you all very much, but I see the tears in the girls' faces. And I want to say something to you. I don't know why I'm going to cry. This is nuts. But we moved from Bedford, New Hampshire, over 10 years ago. We moved for our children in 1996, right? And my kids were devastated. They were angry. They were mad. They were sad. They were leaving their friends and all their peers, and their hearts were broken. But when we got there, the friends they made were incredible. Rachel met Daryl. My son met his first wife. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out too good, but it was good for quite a long while. And my daughter, Leah, she flourished. She became a photographer. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. So I know it doesn't feel that way now, but you're going to be surprised what God's going to do.
I turned out okay.
I'll second that. So, I'm not going to talk to you guys because I'll start crying a lot. But I've known this whole family longer than most of you because I had the pleasure of knowing them at Nashua Christian Academy, and Mike and I worked alongside, and believe it or not, he's been in this church before this. I invited him to do a youth group thing, and he's strumming up there, and I have such fond memories. But it's the middle three I want to talk about. Like, they came into youth group and immediately integrated, and their depth of knowledge shows what the parents have instilled in them. I'm going to miss them dearly, but I also know that God has more. Mike and I were talking, and he said, you know what's funny is if I hadn't come to River, we wouldn't be going to Alabama. But God had called us to Alabama, but we needed something. And he goes, and I don't want to leave here. So that tells you how God's body works together. And whether it's the parents, the twins, were the twins even born when I first knew you guys? I was close. Just born. So that tells you the history, and to see God move in each and every one of their lives. Do you remember the project where you had to dress up? Which teacher was that? Do you remember at NCA? Was it Which Mrs. Dominey? Which time? Yeah. 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 Yeah, the wax museum. And there are memories after memories after memories. And that's what the body of Christ is. It's memories after memories. And as Micah said, you put a reminder of what was, you look forward to what's there, and then you look back at how God has moved you from spot to spot. So the three middles, God has a plan for you in Alabama. I wish it were Tennessee. I'm sorry. There's just a big rivalry there, and I'm struggling with that personally. But Micah and all... I've already determined I'm going down. We're going to an Alabama game in their stadium, and I will be in full Tennessee gear. And we're going to show them what Christians who hate one another in the battlefield of football can be to one another in brotherly love. It's like, so we've already, that's how impactful Christians should be in the world, that you hate to see people go, but you know the Lord's hand is on them. So I'm going to turn it over to Rach, who has something to say about the boys. And then I think several people, the mic will be open and we'll be here, and Daryl won't have to preach, so he has 2 weeks from now, sermon's done.
All right, so I have the pleasure of talking about Enoch and Tobiah, the twin boys, who came into my Sunday school class last Easter. And I remember teaching about the Passover. And, you know, I have like 30 minutes with the kids, maybe not even that long when it comes to the curriculum. And little Tobiah's hand went up and he's like, Miss Rachel, you forgot a part about blah, 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 blah. And I was like, buddy, I only have 20 minutes, but these guys know their stuff. So I better make sure that I make sure I hit all the main points. It was so sweet. But yeah, definitely. But a few weeks ago, we had a mom come in with a young son, and she said, we're here because my son needs to make friends, and he's having trouble at school, and my heart was so at peace, and I said, don't you worry, we got him. And I knew exactly what table I was going to put him at, and I knew exactly who I was going to sit him next to, and sure enough, Enoch and Tobiah just loved this little guy, and his mom came to pick him up, and they were just having fun and laughing and playing games, and she was like teary-eyed. She was like, oh, this is what I needed to see. And I didn't have the heart to tell her, well, they're leaving in 3 weeks, but but anyways, it's so nice as a Sunday school teacher to just know that we can look out on our kids and watch them be the hands and feet of Jesus. And you boys have it, and you're strong leaders, and it was such a pleasure being your teacher. So thank you for everything that you did in Children's Church, and I'm excited to see what you're going to do in Alabama. Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Amen. And now, did anybody, you know, have something they quickly want to share with the family? Just for open mic.
I'll run the mic for you. And behind us too, sorry.
Uh-oh, yeah. Behind, they're all crying. They need a moment. Anyone out here? I'm trying to give someone so you can get composed to say something. No? Steve, all right. Blind spot, Steve. I am so sorry.
The sad part is it's just too short of a time. So much better than just saying goodbye.
Steve broke the ice. All right. You guys have a lot of time to compose. I'm just kidding, Don.
Hey, guys. So I just want to say, I don't know the kids that well, but I know them, who they are, and I have the boys in Sunday school. But I just want to say that this God is going to use you guys. He used you here for all of us, because just the example of his grace and his love and his humility that you both all possess is inspiring to me, and I'm sure to everybody else. But I know he's going to use you in a mighty way in Alabama, and we are going to miss you. But we know that he's got a great plan for you, and so we just pray the Lord will just do what he needs to do in your lives, and maybe you'll come back and visit. That'd be great. We love you. Okay. Oh, behind you. Oh, wait a minute. Make sure she's got her snots all cleaned up over here.
Who cleans up their snot anyway?
She does.
I just want you to know.
So much for composure.
Here comes the snot. I'm going to speak to the kids first, but I just want you to know that you guys have really impacted my life forever. You're just a gift. You really are, all of you. And that's a testimony to your parents, to the Lord. And I just know that God's hand is on your lives. And you don't have to be worried about what's next. You don't have to be worried about having a place to stay or a family to come back to and visit. Because you have that here. And you'll always have that here.
Everybody.
No, just kidding. And I do want to say something to Micah. So I start ugly crying.
Too late.
It's really... It's really special when you find somebody who has the heart that he has, that you have, Micah, matched with musical talent and desire for excellence and desire to just pull out the best in everyone. And yes, sometimes that is shown through screaming chords out at people in the middle of songs during worship practice. Sometimes that's turning around and kicking the drums or something. I'm trying to keep it light, people. But I just want you to know that, like, what you do is important. That you're powerful, that you're a powerful, powerful servant of God. And I just know that you're going to be instrumental in Alabama in a church somewhere, and you're going to continue to lead this family as you have. And I love you as the brother that I never wanted. No, just kidding. I love you as my brother. And Casey, I've just loved getting to know you. You're incredible. You make everybody better that's around you. So I just pray that you will be blessed. Okay, who's next?
Nikki.
Yes.
I'll be really quick, mostly because I know how uncomfortable this makes Mike and Casey. I just love you guys, and I'm so grateful for you. When I think of just this last year and the journey, and even Andrew and my own journey coming to River, you guys are an answer to prayer. And I think that's not just my prayer, right? I think that many in this room could say that you and your family have been an answer to prayer. And I just know that God will continue to be faithful. And what's next is better than any of us could have thought or imagined. Not a goodbye. See you later. We love you guys.
So before we go into prayer, I just wanted to kind of sum up some of these things because I see God weaving something through this just in the comments. You notice that the youngers influenced the olders, and the olders influenced the youngers and vice versa. That's the body of Christ. Did you notice they were an answer to our prayer? We were an answer to their prayer. I already know there are prayers that are going up in Alabama that you're the answer to, guys. This whole family. And there are people in here that you're the answer to the next person's prayer that walks in this door. So what I've learned from these guys, be accepting of everyone. Pour into people's lives. It's challenged me. It really has. So let's pray before I cry and can't pray. So Father God, thank you so much for this family. Thank you for each and every one of them. God, thank you for the moments we've had throughout this past year plus. God, may they have many moments like this wherever you place them. Put your hand upon them. Guide them. Give them safety in these days of travels. Thank you for the route you've laid out. The time as a family they'll get to decompress before they hit that border in Alabama. And God, let them shake that whole area for you. God, let it reverberate, as Micah said, all the way up the East Coast and back down. God, let this be the start of something that we'll look back and say, your spirit was in it and on it. We pray in your son's precious name.
Yeah. God, I bless them. I ask, Father, that you prepare friendships and family for their arrival, God, that you will use this next encounter to further your kingdom, Father, in Alabama. And God, so many lives, just like we've been touched, will be touched, and they as well will be developed and further healed and further empowered. And Lord, just prepare the ground, we ask right now in the name of Jesus, and sow the seeds, Father. So pour out your anointing on this family. Allow them to live closely with each other, Father, that through this journey they'll draw closer together, Father, that they'll depend more upon you, that they'll fall more in love with you, that they'll encounter you, God, in ways they never thought possible. And Lord, we just pray for a continued connection as we move forward, God. And just thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the funny things is there's a lot of churches in that little city there where they live, and Nehemiah was like, Dad, can we just start River of Life South? And so that's a testament to you guys as a family. I just want, like, that Nemo would be like, I don't want to just any church. I just want my church, and that's you, you know? And so that's so cool. We're going to stay connected, and if the Lord does do something, maybe we can connect through some kind of a inner church connection point, right? And the name of the hill that you live on is Restoration Hill. So, I mean, that's a pretty cool. So, you know what? Let's just stay tuned, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing. We're not engineering anything, but you definitely are like a church in a box when you put all of you guys together. So. All right. Well, thank you so much. I want to give you that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There's one more somewhere. Oh, dude. Yes.
So, the twins, like Enoch and Tavaya, they're my best friends. Them moving is hard. And I'm happy for them that they get a new start. And I want them to enjoy their lives in Alabama. Yeah. They're my best friends. And I know there's other ways to contact with them. By messenger kids and writing letters. Well, I'm just happy that they get a new start and they're happy with their decisions, and I'll miss them.
That was so awesome. And just to encourage both of you, this is not the end. I'm pretty sure Christ has already prepared your houses next to one another in heaven. Like, this is not goodbye. That's the cool thing about Christ, is this is just, we'll see you at the next reiteration of what God has for us in our lives. And we know eventually it's going to be in heaven, and it will feel like it was only a moment. Someone said 20 years. We're going to have eternity to celebrate our Savior with one another and rekindle all those friendships. So thank you guys so much. I think we're going to quit before all of us start bawling.
And we are back. Yes. All right, here for phase two. If we start preaching now, we can be out of here by 1:30, I'm sure. That's according to Rachel, right? Yes. And you listen to that woman too, man. Because if you don't, you'll be sorry. All right, so before I actually preach, and depending on how this goes, I may not preach, in which case, you know, I'm ready either way. But Megan had actually reached out, and she wanted to share a testimony, and so I wanted to make that opportunity available, because, man, to hear a testimony from someone in the body is so powerful, right? And in Revelations, it talks about how the devil was defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I want you guys to get really good at sharpening your weapon that you're going to use against him, okay? So, Megan, come on up.
Thanks. Thank you, Daryl. Yeah, that's part of the reason why I wanted to come up and share. I really don't like talking in front of people, but God's placed it on my heart because it's just super important to talk about, share your testimony. So, for those of you who don't know me, super quick, my name is Megan. We've been coming to the church for like a little over a year. And I stay home with my three kids. So, I've been a Christian for, I've been walking with the Lord for like 15 years now. But it's just amazing how God continues to just reveal himself. Oh, it sounds super loud. It's not that loud. Okay. Continues to reveal himself and his heart, just over the years. So, this is a really short, it's not my whole testimony, it's just a really short testimony of the past few months and how God has been refining me and my heart. So since getting married, I've been married for like 9 years, God has helped me overcome anxiety, which is amazing. He's helped me and my husband both overcome addictions, which is wonderful, but I feel like once you overcome one thing, the enemy searches his bag of tricks for what's next. Because in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So with that being said, my family and I, we just recently moved into a new neighborhood, like a year and a half ago. And I was super excited to be moving into a community where there were so many families with little kids. And we settled in and life was really good. I was content, but the enemy had some plans for me. So one day I received a text message from a neighbor that truly flipped my whole world upside down. She told me that my beliefs were just too loud and I needed to stop sharing them because people were getting upset. And that nobody agrees with me, and that basically it's just foolish. And this really set me for a whirlwind. I don't know if it's my age or my personality, but I just really want to be liked by everyone, and the enemy knows that. So it completely crushed me. And instead of digging in and drawing closer to God, I allowed it to stir up a lot of like unsettlement and anxiety and just things that weren't from God. And I didn't realize it at the time, but the enemy was placing these longings and insecurities in my heart that I should have just handed over to God. And the enemy used things such as power and money, kind of dangled it in front of my face, saying, well, Megan, if you had a job, your neighbors would probably respect you a little bit more. If you probably had a nicer car, your neighbors might respect you a little bit more. And that was not from God. But instead of leaning into God, I chose to dug my heels in and do what I could do to earn the world's respect, the world meaning my immediate neighborhood, but it can relate to the world as well. And I just want to say, like, working and having nice things is not against the Lord, but for my personal self, God wants me home with my kids, and that's just not possible for us right now. So I got the job, even though I know God didn't want me to. I traded in my minivan that my husband worked super hard to pay off for a nicer car, which is not a bad thing, but it's not the plan the Lord had for me. My neighbors noticed, and they certainly respected me more. They complimented me, saying, wow, nice car, cool job, and it made me feel good for a little while. But meanwhile, I was driving this really nice car to work, and things, they weren't great at home, so Dan was struggling with the kids, and the kids needed me. So I asked myself, was the respect of my neighbors worth the grief for my family? Was this new, almost $1,000 car payment worth me having to work 4 nights a week away from my kids when God wanted me home? And I just broke down, and this was right around the time you introduced the Esther series, when you were preaching about how when we pray, God, bring my heart closer to you, he's not just going to bring us there. He's going to have the banquets with us and have the banquets with us over and over and over again to get us there. So my prayer was, God, take away anything and everything right now that does not bring me closer to you. And so I had a good chat with Dan, and he was like, well, number one, let's get rid of this car. And I was like, okay, we'll get rid of the car. And he was like, number two, I need you home. And I was like, okay, I need to be home. Me and Kim joke that we should get shirts that say, God is so cool. That's like my catchphrase. God is so cool. Because he doesn't just answer your prayer. You can't just pray and say, God, give me your heart. And he'll say, oh, here you go. Here's my heart. He wants to walk alongside us on our journey. And that's exactly what he's doing in my life. And one more thing, super quick. 3 Sundays ago, I was done getting ready for church, and I checked my phone, and I had 2 unread text messages, and they were sent within like 2 minutes of each other. And one was from a different neighbor who I don't talk to very much, and they had said the same thing. They had said again, Megan, please stop sharing your beliefs. It's too much. You know, we don't agree with you. And the other text message was from my mom, and she said, hi, honey, I listened to a sermon this morning, and it made me think how we are chosen by God to know the truth. And it was Ephesians 1:11. It says, in him we are also chosen, having predestined according to the plan of him. And I just wanted to say that the pruning of our hearts is really hard, and it's not pretty, and it's not easy. And the cry of my heart will continue to be that, God, just take away, continue, take away anything that doesn't bring me closer to you. And when I die, I want to look at Jesus and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I have a little bit more, but that's all. That's all. Thanks, yeah.
Amen. Amen. You did great. And you know what? You want to share about God pruning your heart? Do it loudly. Amen. Amen. Right? The world needs more broken people who are willing to just. What's that? Yes, keep doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you're not allowed to go anywhere. That's right. Yep. Yep. It's always the weird ones in the world's eyes that they go to for help because. What's that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Do you have time for this many notes? This was my backup plan. So I have like, you know, pages of notes, but then this was what I sat down and I felt like the Lord wanted to share as of this morning based upon the fact that we were going to be doing, you know, saying goodbye to the Groters and then sharing a testimony. I was like, I don't know how much time we have. And if you got to go, I don't know, give me the nod. Give me the, or do this. This always looks good. Okay, I'll talk fast. So in Numbers 13, this is the story of the 12 spies that went into the land of Israel, which was a land promised that was going to be their possession, right? It was promised that it would be their place of rest. It was promised for generations, and God took his time getting them there and developing them and teaching them and like providing manna so they could be at this point and providing his cloud, pillar of cloud above them, the presence of God, shading them in the sun and becoming like a pillar of fire at night, which was like a gigantic nightlight, big enough for a million people, right? He was amazing. Just to get him to this point. And these 12 spies, they go into the land of Israel. And in Numbers 13, I don't have a slide, so we could just feel free. Kick back, relax. huh? Was that? Oh. Numbers 13, verse 25, if anybody wants to turn there. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. So we have arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of the fruit as proof. But it is, but the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. The Amalekites live there in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, the Termites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean, the Jordan Valley. I just wanted to see if you were listening. all right. But Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take that land. We can certainly conquer it, right? Did you catch that thing? Caleb saw that they were being deflated by these words, and it was Caleb who felt motivated to stand up and just encourage. Right, like no, we can do this. We can like, let's go do it now. Like, what are we waiting for? Right. Do not underestimate the power of your encouragement. If the Holy Spirit tells you to say something, to encourage someone, like you've heard me say, when you walk into church and you look around the room, if the Lord highlights someone to you and tells you to go encourage them, do not underestimate the power of what that encouragement could mean to somebody. It could be the difference, as in this story's case, between someone actually pressing into what was promised them or turning their back on it and leaving. Yeah? Okay. They had their excuses, they had their reasons. They had their fear. And I think it's very important that I point out that if you were to ask them, would you call those excuses or fear? I think they would say, no. What we're trying to say is wisdom, right? And so please understand this point. Like, I just felt like the Lord wanted to say, like, don't hide behind your wisdom when you're walking in fear, and don't allow, close off this section of your story to the Holy Spirit because you think you understand it and you think you know better. There's time for the Holy Spirit to address fear in all of us that goes against wisdom of this world. I'm not telling you to go out and do something stupid. Please hear me. But don't hold back because wisdom would tell you that you're going to be hurt. Make sense? Now, Daryl, I can think of all kinds of implications of how that, what you just said, could go bad. I can too. So I'm not telling you to go out and do anything, right? Nothing stupid and detrimental to yourself, okay? But man, how many promises have we failed to enter into because fear kept us from taking one more step forward? And that's what I'm after. I want God's promises to manifest themselves in our lives like we've never seen before. And that means stepping outside of what you are comfortable doing and what you feel wise and qualified to accomplish and start stepping into things where you're not qualified. Right? Right? Right, Tommy? I did. These guys had a great excuse. The sons of Anak are there. You know who the Anakim are? They're the product of female humans and demons. And they were scary. And they were huge, right? And I don't want anybody here to also say, I hate it. Every time I try to step forward into the promises that God has painted for me, I get resistance from the devil himself, right? Yeah, so did they. I mean, we're talking about half-demonic man-spawns running around, right? Legendary status. And it was cool because Joshua, I got to go reflip because I got too many things to know, not enough hands. Numbers, I want to say it's chapter 14, verse 9. Let me just start a little earlier in 7. They said to the community of Israel, the land we explored is a wonderful land. This is Joshua and Caleb speaking. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. What do you mean, don't rebel? What do you mean? I'm not telling you I'm here to rebel. I'm telling you I'm afraid, right? And Joshua's saying, you're not just being wise and afraid, you're rebelling. What am I rebelling against? Promises. God's promises to you. Do you know what the promises God has given you specifically, as well as, you know, holistically as a body of Christ member? Do you know what the promises that he has given you, and is there any part of you that would call it wisdom, live in fear, but actually walk in rebellion against what something wonderful God has prepared for you to step into? You hear what I'm trying to offer to you is that, kick in the butt to enter into the fullness of God for your life and what he's offering, okay? And don't sell it short because it doesn't make sense to you. Now, the next thing I love that Joshua said as he continues speaking, he's talking about the giants, okay? He said, they are only helpless prey to us. And if you read the King James and the original Hebrew word, he actually said, they're like bread to us. Nom, 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 nom. we don't live by, right? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. There's some things in this life that are worth more than just ordinary bread to us. And even something here that we might be able to find is that there is life and sustenance in defeating enemies that God has put in front of us that you would not have experienced and been fed from had you disengaged out of fear. You know what I mean? I don't want to make a theology out of it. I'm just saying. For Joshua to be able to say they're like bread, right? And sometimes we as Christians, we're like, I feel like I'm spiritually starving. I just feel like I'm not being fed. Well, ask yourself as you look in the mirror, and Holy Spirit, am I evading a giant that you put in my life? I'm calling it wisdom, but I'm living in fear. I'm walking in rebellion and I'm starving. Are all those things okay with you? Okay. I'll read the finished last sentence. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us, so don't be afraid of them. I mean, you know, can you imagine living in fear as you're under this pillar of cloud or pillar of fire, depending on what time of day it was, right? And you're like, but I think they're going to beat us. And Joshua is like, they're unprotected. He's with us, right? And I also want to flip that entire statement around and say it is possible that the church, all of us, could actually live under the full promises of God, the benefits of salvation, the power of God fully at work within us, right? We can see amazing miracles if we have to, and yet God himself, right there in front of us, is not enough if we're living in fear to actually walk into what he's called us to. Can you get what I just said without that, like, shaking your head too much? Okay, living in even the most miraculous of encounters in the Holy Spirit and watching, you know, life and salvation and all that that means to you, right? That's still not enough to just force you to keep moving forward in the things of God. You can actually be like these guys, standing under the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire, eating manna as you're complaining and saying, I don't think God's enough. Does that make sense? Yeah, we'll meet over manna breakfast tomorrow and we'll talk about that. Right? So don't think that you need some more miraculous proof in your life. Don't think you need more of something in your life, because they had almost everything I can think of provided right to their door. And it was not enough, okay? It's dependence on the Holy Spirit, it's faith, it's encouragement, and it's going for it. It's obedience. Obedience. Amen? I just did that in 10 minutes or less. Yeah. I think it was 9. Well, them's my hearts right there for you. I want to leave you with one phrase. I think I've said this to you before, but great faith offends the stationary. I've put that on my wall. I think you should stick it on your wall too. And I'm not saying I'm an amazing faith guy, but we need a good reminder sometimes that people are going to be bothered when you walk in faith. That's why I was looking over at you, because if you exhibit something that they're too afraid to have, they're going to hate you and want you to be stifled because you remind them of rebellion and fear and walking in wisdom, and it makes people uncomfortable. You're doing it right. It's good, though. So. Just worked it out. Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, the service didn't look like what we would call your typical agenda, but Father, we're family. We're not a service. And so, God, I'm just thankful that we were able to express love for a family that we are attached to. We're able to celebrate, and we're able to pray for Megan, and as she has both a challenge and a victory all at the same time. I'm thankful, Father, that you could speak to us and remind us to walk into the fullness of what you have, the promises of God for us. And Lord, I pray that you will stir up this week within us the ability and the courage to remember what you're saying, Lord. If we are walking in fear wisdom, please remind us really loudly this week so that, Father, we can come back to our knees and begin to wrestle with laying down those fears. Lord, please don't allow us to walk in rebellion and hold anything more important than you, than walking in you. And Lord, I ask that you will manifest your promises in our life, because Lord, by faith right now, we're putting our hands out and open. We're saying, yes, I want more, and I don't care if it offends people. I don't care if it drives people away. What I really want is to be closer to you anyways. And so I'll let everything else go if I have to. Let us walk in love this week. Let us walk in holiness. Let us reach this world, I pray. And let us show him Jesus, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. If you have any questions, you want prayer, come on up. Otherwise, I'm excited to see you at Camp Sentinel next week.